get them girls loose, loose.
TJR.
Go get the world loose, loose.
Listening to Cleveland money. Browns Mr. Daily, Norway. Driven by but Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci back with you here on a Call Your Shot Friday. Don't forget to hit us up, 216-578-0850. That's 216-578-0850. Or tweet the show at Browns_daily. You got to call your shot for the Browns and Jaguars this Sunday. And listen, the best fans in the NFL need their gear. You can shop the new and improved team shop down at First Energy Stadium, open Monday through Friday till 5 p.m. Eastern, or get your holiday shopping for the Browns fan in your life right now from the convenience of your home. Go to ClevelandBrowns.com or ClevelandBrownsTeamShop.com and get that going there. Get the best stuff there. It is good gear. The Nike stuff they have, phenomenal stuff. So definitely check that out for your Browns fans this holiday season. Notorious, before we went to the break, you asked about your favorite Thanksgiving memories.
Yes.
So I'm going to let you go ahead and kick this off while I continue to ponder my favorite Thanksgiving
well,
memory.
Because I'm sure we got a lot of them. And,
there
and
are
that's
a
the
lot. Point,
that's the challenge. So you're going to pick the best one, and I know that's not easy. It's like asking, which is your favorite kid? You know,
right.
There's no easy answer to that one.
No.
There's no answer to that one. But
no.
Other than I love them both.
That's right.
Here's the deal. I think for me, it has to be, though, when I was covering the Buffalo Bills back in the day, this would have been like mid-90s, and they played the second of the only two Thanksgiving Day games in which they've appeared. This one in Detroit, and the first one was also in Detroit years ago before, when I was a young lad, back in the O.J. Simpson days. But in the mid-90s, I was covering the team, and they're playing the Lions, and this was still the Jim Kelly era. So when the schedule came out, I was like so bummed. I said, this is bad. I can't be in Detroit and be away from my family at Thanksgiving. This never happened in my life, and it's not going to happen this time around. So, you know, we talked about it and worked it out so that we could go as a family. The two daughters, my wife, we were getting in the family truckster, just like Family Vacation, Chevy Chase, you know, with the TV thing and the classic family van. And we're driving through from Buffalo, you go through Canada, actually, which is the shortest route to Detroit, through Sarnia and then into Detroit, and actually Pontiac, where they were at the time, the Silverdome. So we drive there, and that alone was great. Just the trip, the kids going to a game that I'm going to, of course, work, and then they're in the stands, they're watching. Their favorite thing was the balloon, the blow-up lion that was remotely controlled flying around the Silverdome. That's really all they cared about. They didn't care much else about the football, understandably. But that morning, so we stay at the team hotel, which is an Embassy Suites. And a couple of memories. One is when we wake up, I smell turkey cooking. There's no question. Uh-huh. Wafting through the entire hotel is the smell of turkey, and it threw me off, because at first I said, where am I? And it just seemed like I was at home, because that was like, it took me back to my childhood, smelling the turkey cooking as you wake up. And then so I guess they were preparing it for some kind of buffet thing. Then as we were getting ready either to go down to breakfast or coming back up, I think we're coming back up, and Jim Kelly's on the elevator. Now, my kids, especially my older daughter, they knew him about as well as anyone could as a family. We, you know, spent a lot of time around their training camps. He used to give the kids rides in his golf cart going between practice and such in at Fredonia, New York, the training camp at the time. So the rapport was there, but Jim was like, and his face was like, you know, just like concrete at the moment. And she's trying to say hi to him and talk with him. And he's kind of looking down, and he's kind of giving her a little, you know, some grunts here and there. So finally he gets off the elevator, and she goes, Daddy, what's wrong with Mr. Kelly? And I said, Mr. Kelly is in the zone. He's got his game face on. That's what's called a game face. And it was literally, you know, they were just getting ready to get on their buses and go there. So that just stood out as a kind of a fun and different sort of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I think that is a cool one. Get a little road trip in there for you. I think for me, it's more kind of the memory of the various types of Thanksgivings that I've had as a kid, you know, with my grandparents in California and that family scene. And then I remember when I went to Emory, my first Thanksgiving, I actually went with one of the guys on my freshman hall. We road tripped from Atlanta to Dallas, Texas, and actually Richardson, Texas, just outside of Dallas, and had our Thanksgiving with his family and played a lot of football, and that was good. And then, you know, as I've gotten older, we've kind of spent some time in New York with my wife Alyssa's family, which has been, you know, a lot of fun, and get to see her, be with her grandparents. Her mom's family is a very big extended group. And then we also snuck in 1 year down in Atlanta with my dad and my cousin Danny, and had a beautiful meal down there. And certainly to me, what I think of when I think of Thanksgiving, I think of family, I think of food, I think of football, and, you know, a lot of excitement and running around in the middle of the day, and then just a lot of, as you said, just kind of lying around watching football towards the end of it. But really, I think maybe my last three have been amongst three of my favorites, and it's probably because my kids have been involved with them and getting to see them. And now we go over, we have Ms. Fest on the night before Thanksgiving, which is always a great time, and then we have Thanksgiving at the Bloom's house. And, you know, one part of it's not ideal. They're like family to us here in Cleveland, you know, but we don't have, it's not necessarily the big family one, but we have a lot of fun, and our kids are great friends with their kids. And to just see yesterday, last night, for example, we stayed over there until midnight watching the conclusion of that game. And the main reason we ended up staying really was not because we wanted to, but, well, that is part of it, but also because our kids were having so much fun with their kids running around, just having a great time, and just seeing the kids grow up together and kind of start their own traditions, and they're playing football and running around and just being wild, was that to me was actually pretty special as well.
So cool. Wonderful stories. By the way, a footnote to that Pontiac, Michigan trip. Again, you know, I worked it, covered it. We didn't go. There was no, at the end of the day, there was no turkey to be had. Okay. Cause
turkeyless
Thanksgiving worked out where the restaurants were. So we ended up, after I wrote my pieces for the Buffalo News, we ended up having a traditional seafood dinner for Thanksgiving, because that was the only restaurant that was like available. It was one of those little Joe's seafood places.
Uh-huh.
But it was the best. And then at that moment, it wasn't the food that mattered, and it wasn't like, okay, there's no turkey here. Who cares? Everybody was smiling, laughing, having a good time. I think the Bills lost the game, and Kelly threw like a pick six. that was kind of an ugly fashion ending of the game. But it was for our purposes. That's what he gets for not smiling at the kid that morning of the game.
Yeah.
But for our purposes, it was just the best. And I love your stories. And you're right. It all, the dimensions all change, the dynamics, I mean, change when kids are in the picture. We want to take you inside the locker room right now. Our own Jameer Howerton doing that, sitting down now with defensive lineman Desmond Bryant. Take it away, Jameer.
Thanks, Vic. Des, you guys had a day to really reflect on Sunday's game. Just overall, what are your thoughts from a defensive perspective on how well you guys played and some of the positives that you guys can build on moving forward?
I think we played pretty well, especially on third down and in the red zone. Those are areas, you know, we've struggled with all year, and we've improved on that in the past two games. So, you know, we can take that and build on that. Some other things we want to try to get better at would be you know, limiting some of those screens. They threw a lot of screens on us, and we missed a few tackles, so we've got to get tackles when we're supposed to and try to limit their ability to, you know, get yards after the catch, yards after, I guess, after contact. So, you know, we work on those things. You know, we can continue to do the things we've been doing all year.
When you look back at the week of preparing for the Pittsburgh Steelers, I can remember defensive coordinator Ray Horton speaking on a point of emphasis was getting to Ben Roethlisberger and bringing him down. Talk about the importance of just wrapping up and bringing more pressure to the quarterback.
You know, they obviously understood that we were coming for him. And so, you know, they did a lot of things with their game to try to deter us from being able to do that. They got the ball out quick on the screens, like I was talking about. They had a lot of quick passes that weren't screens. Ben, you know, he may have had five passes, or he was back there for over 3 seconds. So, you know, they obviously did a good job with that. You know, for us, we've got to, when we do have those opportunities, where he's back there for over 3 seconds, we've got to be able to get home. We've got to recognize, you know, they run play action. We've got to be able to recognize that and get off the blocks and get back there in the backfield. But they did a good job. So hats off to them.
And just overall, being one of the defensive leaders on this team, and you look back at the two tough divisional losses, how do you keep the young players' morale up and ready to go, because you still have five games left?
Absolutely. One of the things Coach Chud talked about today was we have a five-game mini season left. You know, and one of the things, one of the quotes he put up there was, you know, nobody remembers what you do except in December. So, you know, this is our you know, kind of home stretch of the season. We've got five games left. If we go out there and win all five games, you know, we have a possibility to even make it to the playoffs. But, you know, the way to do that is to get back to the fundamentals, get back to all the basics, really hone in our technique, attention to detail. And, you know, if we win one game at a time, you know, who knows how the season will end.
Desmond, thank you for your time and good luck this week.
Thank you.
Back to you, Vic.
Okay, thank you, Jameer. Thank you, Desmond Bryant, for that. We look at this Browns pass rush, and of course last week, Nathan, nothing, no sacks, really almost no pressure at all on Ben Roethlisberger. I'll give some credit to Big Ben, that Steeler offensive line, for playing over its head or whatever it did, because it certainly wasn't playing that well up to that game, or at least well enough for us to think that the Browns couldn't get the pressure, but they didn't. So I've got to see this as a redemption week, big time, and especially we're talking about, you know, Chad Henne as a quarterback here. I don't want to see Chad Henne have any moments of comfort on passing downs. He shouldn't.
No, he shouldn't. This is the team, the Jags, coming into this game that have given up 37 sacks. That's sixth most in the NFL. So this is the team that you can get to the quarterback against. The last three games, they've given up 3, 2, and 4 sacks, respectively. They've given up at least 2 sacks in every single game this season. So this is a team, every game but one, I apologize, 10 out of 11 games, they've given up at least 2 sacks to the opposition. So this is a team that the Cleveland Browns absolutely should be able to get to the quarterback against. And I think, interestingly enough, it's going to be guys like Desmond Bryant and Ataba Rubin and hopefully Phil Taylor in the middle of the field that do that. When you look at this offensive line of the Jacksonville Jaguars, their best pass blocker is actually their right tackle. At least it has been so far this season. He has done the best job. And when I'm talking about the right tackle here in terms of the, you know, the sacks allowed, etc., the guy who's been the toughest for that team, that's Austin Pastor is his name. Yeah. That's the guy that, you know, he's played well. But where you can get to him is up the middle. Uche Nwaneri, Brad Meester, Cameron Bradfield, Will Rackley, those guys up the middle of the field is where you've been able to get. Meester, obviously, the center, so maybe Phil Taylor can get a move there. He's given up 4 sacks, which among centers is bottom 10 in the National Football League. You look at their guards. They have been, both guards also, in terms of sacks, both have given up at least 4. Uche Nwaneri and Will Rackley, yeah. That puts them in the top 10 at the guard position. So the interior of their line is very susceptible to the pass rush, as is their left tackle, replacing, of course, Luke Jokel, who they drafted number 2 overall. That's where the Browns can get that push. Well, I'm going to expect to see maybe a lot of double A-gap pressure if they decide to blitz some linebackers up the middle. Phil Taylor, a kind of guy, try to push back, collapse the pocket in on Chad Henne, because the interior of the line is where they are the most susceptible.
Yeah, and flipping that around, you know, the Jags, basically it's Jason Babin, you know, who's I guess solid, but I mean he doesn't, I don't think he comes anywhere close to at least overall levels that you should see from the Browns, but he's the best that they've got there. So in the meantime, you know, I want to see Brandon Whedon be as cleanly protected as possible against this line. And it's going to also have to be a case where the Browns continue to try to manufacture something in their running game. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, no excuses for this defensive front. I want to see multiple sacks coming out of this game. Want to see Chad Henne having any comfort level at all or any even sense of confidence that he can get back there and make an impact.
And this is a game where I'd like to see Barkevious Mingo get a sack again. Jabal Sheard, the left tackle, Cameron Bradfield, who's had to step in for the injured Luke Jokel, he has given up 4 sacks just in the last 5 games alone. So you can get to the quarterback there. Had arguably his worst game last week. Gave up a sack, 4 quarterback hits, a couple quarterback hurries as well. So this is the game for this Browns defense to do what it does best. I think if you get some creative pressures up the middle of the field, combine that with the speed on the outside of Mingo and Sheard coming at the blind side of Chad Henne, there's no reason why they shouldn't get some sacks. Could be a tough game with Pastore for Paul Kruger, but I believe this is a game where the Browns should have at least 3 sacks when it's all said and done.
At least. I'm going with the 3 as my minimal number. I'm going with that. That's a good number.
Yeah.
By the way, we want to remind Browns fans to stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, and videos, and more. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com. Download our mobile app. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns.
Yes, and speaking of this game against the Jacksonville Jaguars, believe it or not, it's happening right here in our backyard at First Energy Stadium. There are tickets available. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit ClevelandBrowns.com for the list of available tickets. Go out there and support the Browns against the Jags in their second-to-last home game of the season. I want to see them win. I want to see them get to the quarterback. We talked about how that's going to be very, very important. The guy that really on this offense is the one who's starting to kind of carry the mail. Because, listen, Chad Henne doesn't have multiple passing scores in a single game this year. It has been Maurice Jones-Drew. He's got a touchdown or 100 or more total yards in 4 straight games, 5 of his last 6. And we talked with Ryan O'Halloran on Wednesday, and he talked about how they kind of limited his snaps a little bit to keep him fresh. And that seemed to pay off against the Texans. 14 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown, 6 catches for 60 yards as well. The Browns have done a good job. They've not allowed a running back to rush for a touchdown in 4 straight games, but backs are averaging 95 yards rushing per game over the last 7. So I would like to see them, if you can eliminate Maurice Jones-Drew or neutralize him to the best of your ability. And, you know, they really have one receiver. And what do I mean by that? I mean, he's got more catches than all the other receivers that are active on the team combined. He's got more targets than all the other active receivers on the team combined. Talking, of course, about Cecil Shorts. This is a game that the Browns defense should be able to shut them down. At the same time, it's a Jacksonville Jaguars defense playing much better since their bye that you would kind of think has a good opportunity to shut the Browns down as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No question about that, without a doubt. And by the way, we're going to get into our forecast because it is Friday forecast
right.
day, as well as Call Your Shot Friday. And we still want you to call your shot, 216-578-0850, or tweet us at Browns underscore daily, at VICCARUCCI, at NATHANZEGURA. Want to hear from you? We got Carly McCord working with us today. She is tweeting throughout the show. She is going to be putting together the Browns Daily Wrap, which will be posted on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. All of that is ahead. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, and ESPN 850 WKNR.